Well, good morning, Devin. It's so good to see you, and a special welcome if you're new today. Now, I want to thank you for joining us on this beautiful Palm Sunday. Now, some of you may be wondering, what in the world is Palm Sunday? Maybe you've seen it listed and on as a special day on your calendar or something like that, but never really knew or even put maybe much thought into what it was all about. Palm Sunday is a day, as Pastor Cole already mentioned, that we commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem as their King and Savior. Now, I want you to picture this. Jesus rode in on a donkey while the people put their cloaks and their palm branches on the roads before them, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Now, have you ever wondered why they did this? If you're here early enough, you would have heard before the song Hosanna we sang that Hosanna means save us now. Save us now, Son of David, is what they were shouting. And David had been Israel's greatest and favorite king. Most of us have heard of his victory over Goliath the giant, right? And it's the same shepherd boy, David, whom God chose to lead his people, Israel. And because David had such a heart to please God, God had promised that one day he would put someone on David's throne, a king who would rule forever. We actually read that promise every Christmas. Funny, eh? It's triumphal entry promise, yet we read it every Christmas, written by the ancient preacher and prophet Isaiah. He says, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." So when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, the people were celebrating him as their promised king. Now you got to understand that by this time, Jesus, by the time he got to Jerusalem, he was going viral. Right? He was the number one talk of the town. He had just raised a guy from the dead a few days earlier in the neighboring community, and the people had started wondering, could this be him? Could this be the anointed one from God to sit on David's throne forever and save us from the burden of Rome? Of course, Jesus' mission was much, much bigger than simply breaking off the hold of Rome. His sights were set on breaking the hold of sin and death that it has on our lives. And his triumphal entry was the start of that final week before his sacrificial death and his resurrection, which would accomplish his mission. Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, and he wants to triumphantly enter Devon today. The difference is that the first time he came was as flesh and blood. But today, his spirit lives in every one of his followers. So when we leave this building, when we enter our community, we bring Jesus to the streets, to our work, to our schools, to our homes. Jesus said, as recorded by his friend and follower John, he said, "I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Jesus lives inside every believer by his Spirit. But I think that all too often, we have maybe placed him under house arrest. We won't let him out. Who knows what he might do, right? If we let him rub shoulders with the people around us, we think maybe it might get embarrassing or awkward. And because we're afraid of what might happen, we hide him from those around us. But we need to let his light shine. As Matthew, another follower of Jesus, recorded him saying, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, it's time to let Jesus out. It's time to shine his light and share his love with others. Jesus said, really, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Let him shine through your life. Accept people and love them like he does. Share what he's done for you, and some will glorify our Father in heaven by trusting in Jesus as the one to save them too. And you can start to shine right away, even today. How? As that video said, by simply inviting folks out next week. That's the easiest way to start. Invite. There are 6 quick lessons that I'm going to share today from the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. My hope is that these points will encourage you to take that step of faith this week and reach out to those that God has strategically placed in your life for this moment. And if this is all new to you, my hope is that you will discover who Jesus is and what he's done to save you and give you eternal life with him. So let's start by looking at Matthew's account of the triumphal entry. It's found in Matthew 21. It starts off by saying this: as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion — that's daughter Zion is a term referring to Jerusalem. It's sitting on top of Mount Zion. He said, see, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples, his followers, went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So let's dive right away to these 6 things that we find in the triumphal entry of Jesus that can help us in being witnesses of love and grace of God to the people around us each day. First thing is that, like Jesus' followers that day, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to listen to them. Now, if you read through the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' ministry, you find him doing and saying a lot of things that might seem a little odd today. He tells paraplegics, get up and walk. And they do. He spits in the dirt, makes some mud, rubs it into a blind man's eyes. Tells him to go wash it off. He does, and the man can see again. Now, here in this account, it seems like Jesus is telling a couple of his followers to go steal a donkey, right? And a colt for him. Look at it. It says, Jesus sent 2 of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with their colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me. Anyone says anything to you, Just tell them the Lord needs them. Right? Isn't that what it seems like? Just tell them the Lord needs them. And they'll send them right away. You know, I think way too often we read over these accounts and never consider that what they're doing is anything out of the ordinary. Right? If I were one of the disciples out there, I'd be freaking. What? You want me to go steal a donkey? Right? Wasn't that what we would think? There's no way, Jesus, no way anybody's going to believe that line about the Lord needing them. But they did, right? They did believe it. It seems impossible, but it's only impossible if we're doing it on our own. If Jesus is telling us to do something, no matter how crazy it might sound to us, if we obey, he will do amazing things. John quoted Jesus saying this, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." Do we really believe that? Do we believe that where Jesus guides, he will always provide? Average, everyday people are seeing God do miraculous things because they've made themselves available to him to be used by him. But if we never make God's priorities our priorities, then we will never see the impossible happen. It won't happen in our lives. It won't happen through our lives. We'll never touch lives with God's love and grace. We'll never know people's needs, so we'll never see him miraculously meet those needs. And we'll never see people set free from their bondage to sin and made alive in Jesus. But if you're ready to believe, if you're ready to obey, and ready to love people, then God is ready to use you. In fact, he's been waiting. Second lesson I see in the triumphal entry is that people are longing for more. He says, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." The people that day saw Jesus as the hope for their nation. Maybe he was the one who could lead them to freedom and salvation from Rome, they thought, right? They saw him as being able to lead them into a glorious new kingdom, a kingdom of God. I can't help but believe that people today want the same thing. They want a better tomorrow. They want a hope and a future because they're afraid of what's happening today. People are afraid. They're afraid of climate change, of COVID 2.0. They're afraid of cow farts. Right? Yeah, I went there. But people are afraid of these things. How ridiculous. They're afraid of their own neighbors. They're afraid of losing their income, their health, their relationships. People are looking for hope. They're looking for some peace. And they're looking so hard for a future. If only we knew of some way for them to find all those things. Some solution for all their hopes, a solution for their fears. Something to calm their fears. Wouldn't that be nice if we had that? Yes, I'm being facetious, right? We're the only ones who have that, folks. On this whole entire planet, the church is the only one who has that. It's Jesus. Just like the day he triumphantly rode into Jerusalem, Jesus is still the only one who can bring hope, the hope that people are longing for. And we have the joy and the privilege of sharing that great news with them. It's amazing. But in order to do this, as our third point says, we must leave our ego behind. We got to leave it behind. I want you to listen to the original prophecy about Palm Sunday, spoken by God's preacher Zechariah, more than 500 years before Jesus was even born. He said, "Rejoice, O people of Zion." Again, there's Zion speaking of Jerusalem. "Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Now, I think the image we would typically get of a king riding in triumphantly back into their city is one on a noble steed, right? A majestic steed. But you see, there was a reason for the donkey. The donkey was a symbol. It was a symbol of peace. A symbol of peace. Anyone riding in on a donkey was bringing peace. The book, The Externally Focused Church, I think gives us an interesting look at this scene that I think can help us when it comes to leaving our egos behind. This is what it says. "Riding a donkey, Jesus entered Jerusalem. The crowds cheered and shouted praise to him. They lopped off palm fronds and laid them on the ground for the donkey to walk on. When they ran out of branches, they gladly laid their own cloaks on the ground and walking ahead of the Jesus and the donkey." For a moment, the donkey might have thought it was all about him. After all, he was doing all the work that morning, right? But it wasn't about him. It had nothing to do with him. He was simply carrying the message. The externally focused church is a good donkey that takes Jesus into places where he hasn't always been welcomed. The serving church, folks, you and I, we're just the donkey. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not even about the church. It's all, still all about Jesus. So if we ever feel motivated by our preferences, by our comforts, by our opinions, we need to repent. We need to humble ourselves because Jesus' posture is always one of humility. We live, we serve, we witness, all for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to God alone. Another thing we discover all too often, when we do start reaching out with the love and the message of Jesus, is that some people won't like it. And so we need to follow Jesus' example in this as well and love the haters. Love the haters. Another one of Jesus' early followers was a physician. He was a historian named Luke, who also made a record of the triumphal entry. In his account, we find an interesting detail that Matthew hadn't mentioned. He says, "Some of the Pharisees," those were the religious leaders of the day, "some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, 'Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that.'" Now, they were a very legalistic group, these Pharisees, who thought they knew what God wanted and what God expected of people. So they often bumped heads with Jesus over his message of forgiveness and grace. And it seems that the praises the crowds were heaping and shouting at Jesus that day in Jerusalem was the final straw for them against Jesus. The truth is that when you decide to leave your comfort zone and step into God's mission, there will be those who oppose you. Expect it. While some outside the church won't even want to hear what you have to say, they won't want to hear the message of grace, of God's love for them. The reality is that there are also those inside the church who will not be happy, who will feel jealous, who will be threatened by you. Now, I'm not talking about your spiritual brothers and sisters in this room. At least I better not be. I'm talking about the wolves who like to devour the character of godly men and women who are actually stepping out and taking risks to see the kingdom of God advanced. I've seen this destructive attitude in a lot of YouTube channels lately. They feel it's their job to criticize, to condemn pastors and other Christian leaders and artists who are just trying to follow Jesus and use their gifts for him to help reach people. I remember reading through the Google reviews of the churches in Lethbridge one time when I was there. And it was the weirdest thing. There was this one person who took it upon themselves to tell the world of the heresies of every single church in town except theirs. While I doubt that they actually ever stepped foot in any of those churches. Now, if this person claims to be a follower of Jesus, I can't understand how they cannot realize that every time they attack another church, they are literally throwing mud in the face of Jesus' bride and humiliating Jesus himself before a watching world. Jesus said, "All people will know you're my followers." If what? If you love one another. Yeah. But what if they don't believe me? What if they don't act like me? What if they don't believe stuff like I do? Well, you might as well say, what if they're not as good as me? Because that's really what you're saying. John had some especially hard words for those kind of folks in the church at that time. There was people at that time that were like that as well. He said, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Right? We've been given the task of reaching people. The church has been given the task of reaching people from sin's destructive power, rescuing them. Even if they're not like you or me. Maybe especially if they're not like you or me. In fact, I truly believe that's why we have different churches, different styles, different flavors, because we're all different. And that way, everyone can find a church where they feel they can belong. So please don't criticize or condemn how others are doing it. Instead, just do your part in God's rescue mission. None of us are exempt from it, folks. Because if we don't, somebody else will. I believe God will get somebody else. Which is another point I believe can be found in Luke's account, that laxity will bench you. Listen to these peculiar words by Jesus. He said, I tell you, if my followers didn't say these things, then the stones would cry out. Now, I'm not willing to die on this theological molehill, just in case you're wondering, because I admit I may be taking some liberty with this one. But Jesus here says that if they had kept quiet about him, the very rocks would have cried out. That tells me that I can be replaced. And I find a lot of examples in the Bible that I think give this point maybe some weight, some merit. I want to give you one. The first king of Israel was named Saul. God had specifically chosen him for the job, right? But Saul started to think a little too highly of himself and began disobeying what God had told him to do. So God told Israel's spiritual leader at that time, Samuel, to rebuke Saul and to tell him this: because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you as king. And in the very next chapter, we find Samuel, under God's guidance, anointing a young shepherd boy named David to be the next king of Israel. This tells me that if I start to think, like Saul, that it's all about me, and I start to ignore God's word and his calling on my life, then I believe that God will let me flounder in my foolishness and find someone else with a heart to do his will. I pray that God finds people after his heart in this very room. I pray that every single one of us wants to actively grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we will have the same attitude that Jesus had by humbling ourselves to both serve God and people. Because I believe that these prove that we have hearts after God. And when we become people after God's own heart, I believe he will give us his heart for the lost. And this is, I think, made so clear in Luke's account as we see his lament for the lost, which is our last point. Jesus lamented for the lost. He said, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it and the spiritual ignorance of its people. Jesus, I believe, still weeps for the lost. Do we? I confess, I don't really weep for Devin like Jesus does. But I believe if we did, if we had a heart like his, our town would look a whole lot different than it does today. We would be seeing all kinds of people who were far from God coming to God, accepting him, welcoming. We need to be those who accept them. Jesus accepts them. We need to accept them, folks. He accepted us while we were yet sinners. He died for the entire world while we were his enemies. We need to welcome them, love them. We need to err on the side of grace, not judgment. And we need to let the light of Christ shine through our lives. His love, his grace, his heart. Again, Easter is 7 days away. That's plenty of time to start to take some action and invite someone to join us next Sunday, folks. My prayer is that this will be our biggest Easter attendance since I've come to Devon. And that we'll see people come to put their faith and their trust in Jesus as their forgiving Savior and their King. So, can I ask you something today? If you're a follower of Jesus already, but you've placed him into house arrest in your life, would you let him out so that he will be seen in and through you, letting your light shine in this dark world, so that people will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven? Are you ready to let Jesus change your heart and make it like his? A heart that laments for the lost. If you think you're ready for that, why don't you stand with me right now? And I'm going to pray for us. Thanks. Bow your heads with me, please. And let's just pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, asking for your help. We confess our lack of effort in fulfilling your purpose for us and in fulfilling your mission to seek and save the lost, to help them become faithful and fruitful followers of Jesus. Therefore, we commit to these 6 lessons today. One, we commit to listen and obey you as your Spirit guides us. We commit to help those longing for more in life to find your abundant life. We commit to leave our egos behind and clothe ourselves in your humility. We commit to love those who persecute us. We commit to no longer sit on the bench, but to do our part in your church and your mission. And we ask you to soften our hearts towards the lost whom you died for, Lord Jesus. May our lives reflect your heart in everything we say and do. For your glory and for the furthering of your kingdom, we pray this. And as we remain in this humble position, with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, is there anyone here, and you'd like to join these people standing, but you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and become the leader of your life? If you've come to the place where you want a second chance and want to start living for Jesus and for him, why don't you join these who are standing right now? Just stand up with them, and I'll lead you in a short prayer as well. Thank you. Just pray along silently with me. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, not even really giving you much thought in my life, and I'm sorry for that. I now know that you love me and only want the very best for me, so please forgive me. As you rode into Jerusalem so many years ago as their King and Savior, please come into my life as my King and Savior. I believe that first Easter you came to die for me, and you rose again to get rid of my sin and restore my relationship with you. So thank you. Thank you for saving me today. Thank you for making me a part of your forever family, the church. And please help me to shine with your love and share what you've done in my life today. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. As the rest of the band comes back, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, could you please fill in that connect card that Pastor Cole mentioned earlier on, and there's one linked as well online to the live stream. If you could just do that, I'd love to share some resources with you, some stuff that will help you as you start your journey with Jesus. And I hope to see you next week sitting with somebody new.